always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration is barring Harvard University from enrolling international students. Current foreign students will have to transfer. This Swedish student says it's time to fight back.
If we give him five names, he's going to demand 100 more. So I think that this is the time we have to say, no, this is enough.
CBS's Carter Evans reports two people were killed, eight injured when a private jet crashed into a military housing neighborhood in San Diego.
We understand that many people were evacuated from these homes here by firefighters and by neighbors when they arrived on scene.
It's not clear when evacuees will be allowed back in. The White House has released Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s report on childhood chronic disease. CBS's Alexander Tin says it lists four culprits.
That includes ultra-processed foods, chemicals like food additives and pesticides, chronic stress and a lack of physical activity, and too many vaccines and prescriptions.
The report also calls for more study of childhood vaccines. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
Yeah, I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard, they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things too, and you pour that on the edges of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source, those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant, so you don't bleed down your leg.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scheduled to open a four-game series tonight in Pittsburgh that continues over the weekend. Yesterday, they lost to Baltimore 8-4 in extra innings and had to bring in Tyler Alexander again to close the game.
I was ready to go today, I mean, even though it was an emergency. And before the 11th, after McGill threw, it's tough losing no matter what. So that's never fun. And as close as this ballgame was, it definitely hurts to lose.
The crew is back in Milwaukee on Monday, Memorial Day, against the Red Sox. At the NFL meetings, owners deciding not to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. Meanwhile, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked, did they think about bringing receiver Davante Adams back to Green Bay?
Anytime you have a player of that caliber, there's definitely conversations that go into it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. He is the ultimate competitor and he treats practice like it's game day.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The sunshine has returned, finally, and more mild temperatures slowly creeping in. Highs today flirt with about 60, and we'll make it to the low 60s tomorrow. With the mid-60s expected to dominate the weekend, so does the sunshine. No chances of rain until late Memorial Day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Doctors in Recital who will sing in the studio. Then Milwaukee-based director, producer, and UW-Milwaukee professor Tate Bunker joins the show. It will feel like a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday afternoon. We have a boatload of news. Of course, we're going to be talking about the big, brutal bill that was adopted on the narrowest of margins last night in the dead of night while America was sleeping. The MAGA regime in the House of Representatives enacted the biggest cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and emergency food assistance in our nation's history to deliver trillions in tax cuts to people who don't need them. We will discuss especially what are called, the technical term here, are the manager amendments. These are the amendments that are asserted at the very last things, the very last little tweaks to a bill that is enacted or introduced by the, quote, manager of the bill, typically the representative that introduced the bill, a bunch of crud in there. We're going to get to that, but there's a bit of breaking news. And as your legal eagle on the air here during the weekdays, of course, you got Jim Santel, my fine guest frequently on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, his show called Amicus, a law review. But I'm your legal eagle Monday through Friday. Let me share with you breaking news. Now, we are all aware of the Trump administration bungling about with all kinds of crazy personnel decisions. We know that Donald Trump has threatened to potentially try to, I don't know, maybe fire Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve. We know that Donald Trump has been purging people left and right throughout the ranks of the federal government. Well, some of those purges included firings from the National Labor Relations Board. This is important. What does the NLRB do? It reviews disputes between people that are trying to organize into a union, the actual organized unions and employers. It is essential, though Republicans have been whittling away at labor protections and the power of the NLRB for decades, read since Nixon. So Donald Trump fired a pair of people from the NLRB. That, of course, was challenged in court. The district court found that the removal, which it says in statute needs to be for cause, meaning you can't just fire them because you don't like them or they won't sign some sort of imaginary loyalty pledge to the orange man in chief. He didn't provide any reason for their firing. He just fired them. So the district court found, yep, that's illegal. The appeals court said, yep, that's illegal. Oh, but no, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court just moments ago approving a stay of those prior findings of the lower court. So in other words, allowing the firings to proceed pending final adjudication on the merits. I want to read a little portion of this interim Supreme Court order because the technicalities here are really, really important. Pretty technical. If you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am a lawyer and an economist. This is the kind of stuff that I like to dig my teeth into. Here is the Supreme Court's order from just within the last hour. The application, well, let me start here. The government applied for a stay of orders from the district court and the appeals court enjoining, i.e. preventing, the president's removal of a member of the NLRB and this other related Merit Systems Protection Board. The president is prohibited by statute from removing these officers except for cause, and no qualifying cause was given. You think, okay, well, he can't fire him then. Oh, no. Supreme Court has a few tricks up its sleeve. They continue. The application for stay presented to the Chief Justice and referred by him to the court is granted. Because the Constitution vests the executive power in the president, he may remove without cause executive officers who exercise executive power on the president's behalf, subject to narrow exceptions recognized by our precedents. The stay reflects our judgment that the government is likely to show that both the NLRB and the MSPB exercise considerable executive power. But we don't ultimately decide the final question, blah, 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 blah. It goes on. The stay also reflects our judgment that the government faces greater risk of harm from an order allowing a removed officer to continue exercising the executive power than a wrongfully removed officer faces from being unable to perform his or her statutory duty. Charming. Charming. And they do actually tip their hat. This is extraordinary that the Supreme Court in this interlocutory appeal for preliminary relief, right? This is the emergency docket, the shadow docket, right? They actually talk about the Federal Reserve Chair issue. This is extraordinary because this case isn't about the Fed Chair, okay? Here's the Supreme Court. Finally, the fired people argue that in this case, that this case will necessarily implicate the constitutionality of for-cause removal protections for members of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors or other members of the Federal Open Market Committee. We disagree. The Federal Reserve is a uniquely structured quasi-private entity that follows in the distinct historical tradition of the first and second banks of the United States, and so on and so forth. This is remarkable because the court is signaling again in this interim relief, this non-final order about a completely separate matter that, hey, Trump, you're not going to be able to fire the Fed chair. So very interesting. It's also signaling what I think most prognosticators would have guessed is an extraordinarily broad reading of executive power by this Supreme Court, right? Not surprising, but so broad as to effectively the court is overruling what Congress placed into law requiring for-cause removals and saying Congress did that. That's not constitutional. This is quite an extraordinary ruling, though interim from the Supreme Court. It is, again, another ruling in this slow march to this very expansive interpretation of executive power, more open to this concept of the unitary executive, which used to be some 10 years ago, extraordinarily fringe. It is fringe no longer. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn, your legal eagle and economist on the air here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join our conversation this afternoon? We got a jam-packed show for you. So much to talk about. You can always give us a buzz. Text or phone in 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. I want to talk about the fact that two Israeli embassy staffers were shot to death last night after an event at the Israeli embassy. This is awful. This is disgusting. This is political violence. It is unacceptable in the United States. No matter how grave the atrocities that are occurring in Gaza, mass starvation, we're looking at most likely one of the greatest humanitarian disasters in recent history. And a president who, while he toured the Mideast in gilded palaces, accepting a $500 million plane from Qatar, signing business deals that half of which were already in place back from the Biden administration, didn't bother to stop in Gaza. This is disgusting, unacceptable, and anathema to any good faith American. Before I even got to talk about this news, my good friend John from Milwaukee, a conservative, was on the text line already saying this: the execution of the two Israeli citizens, I'll just read his text, is 100% the fault of left-wing media like 540 WAUK. The liberal media has normalized violence against conservatives and Jews. John, let me be clear here. No. No, not even a little bit. Political violence being normalized, sir, that would be the MAGA regime. That would be the insurrectionist in chief who interrupted the peaceful transition of power that resulted in the beatings of over 100 police officers who pardoned those who engaged in political violence. No, sir. No, sir. That is deeply wrong and misguided. I will say it again, political violence of any type is anathema to democracy. It is anti-American. It has no place. We resolve political differences in the ballot box and over the airwaves. Yes, rhetoric may be incendiary from time to time, John. But incendiary rhetoric is rhetoric. Have never, nor has anyone on this network ever endorsed political violence. I wouldn't be here if any one of my colleagues did so. It is roundly condemned, as it should be, every day. The ones who have made excuses for political violence are in the MAGA regime. The ones who lied about the 2020 election to foment said political violence are on Fox News, admitting in court filings that they don't report news and that no reasonable person would ever believe the things that their commentators say because, of course, it's pure entertainment. Fox News, fake news that has paid hundreds of millions of dollars to plaintiffs because they lie. Those lies that contributed to the political violence where over 100 police officers were beaten, injured, serious brain injuries on January 6th. That is political violence. So is the violence that took the lives of these two Israeli embassy workers, two people who are about to get engaged. It is all abhorrent, and it should be condemned, John, and shame on you for trying to place the blame at the feet of people who dare question the MAGA regime and Donald Trump. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Breaking news. The man who killed those two people has been charged with first-degree murder, as well as murder of foreign officials, causing a death with a firearm, and discharging a firearm during a crime of violence, according to a court filing. 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
To everyone who believes big flavor makes life better, we've got something special waiting for you at Culver's.
The Colby Jack Pub Burger is back with a crave-worthy combo of fresh beef, Wisconsin Colby Jack cheese, crispy onions, and zesty A1 pepper mayo, all stacked on an everything bun. Trust us, you don't want to miss this.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mental health is health care. Self-care isn't selfish, and asking for help is a brave and powerful step. Mental health affects every one of us, regardless of age, race, or background. And yet stigma holds many people back from getting the support needed.
I grew up being called a worry wart, which I've now learned is anxiety.
Kira Sabin gets it. The Madison-based positive psychology coach says many times you just have to let it go.
A lot of the times the energy that we spend trying to control our environments is wasted because we're trying to control things we can't. We can't control the way other people react to us. And trying to just drives us crazy.
This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's break the silence, build understanding, and create a world where mental wellness is a priority for everyone. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, as we are wont to do here on this program, we started off with quite a bang, breaking some news coming out of the Supreme Court. Other breaking news today, Harvard Student and Exchange Visitor Program has been decertified. So says constitutional scholar, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem. She sent a letter to them today, and it says simply this: I am writing to inform you that effective immediately, Harvard University's student and exchange visitor program is revoked. It goes on, as one might expect. Wow. Want to take some calls before we move on here? 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Ellen from Cedarburg, thank you for your patience, ma'am. Welcome to the show. What would you like to share? Ellen? Are you there, Ellen? Hello? We'll try Ellen back again. Paul from Spooner on the text line saying it's Trump who wants to take Gaza and, you know, put hotels up there. These are challenging times. And what I hope, though John from Milwaukee and I disagree on much, the generous reading of his texts into the show that I can provide is this. John wants to condemn political violence just like I do. And he wishes to join me in condemning the man who murdered two Israeli embassy staffers. Political violence has no place in a democracy. Full stop. That's it. There's no more to be said. And whether John, my conservative friend from Milwaukee, it's your team, if we want to divide the world into teams, whether you perceive it's my team that endorses political violence, I want you to know from me, John, and every conservative listening, me, Maggie Dawn, I condemn in every way, shape, and form political violence. It has no place in democracy, and it has no place on this program. Let's take a couple callers. We've got Jean from Eau Claire. Hi, Jean. How you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I feel the same way you do. I feel the pain. And I tell you, I remember I had a hammer. Do you remember that? One of the stations in the state of Wisconsin when Pelosi's husband was assaulted. I mean, this is so sick. I've never seen, in all honesty, I'm 70, and I paid attention to my government for 20-some years live, and I have never seen, you know, the behaviors of the people with the R after their name, the megas, the hate, and going after people. I've never seen anything like this before. It is alarming. And then watching these people when they're, you know, you're the Congress, watching the House, watching the Senate, the hatred, and the things that are being said, and the idiocracy, it's unbelievable. And Kristi Noem, give me a break. I'm sorry, but, you know, when she writes about shooting dogs in the head, puppies, and I train hunting dogs, you just know, you train a dog, you don't shoot them in the head, a puppy. I mean, these people are unbelievable, Maggie. It's like watching a horror story. So
I hear you. I hear you, Jean. I do want to share with you all this. John and I, via the interwebs, the miracle of texting, we have had a moment of agreement. John from Milwaukee, my friend, my conservative friend, we have found agreement that we both condemn political violence in all of its shapes and forms. It has no place in a democracy. I have this to say about it, and then we're going to bring on some guests in the next segment. Political violence ends with us, with you, and with I, with me. We can do this. We can say to the extremist elements within our parties that will not be tolerated. So, John, to my conservative friends listening, let's make a commitment together to talk to our extremists, whomever you think is on your team that's out there on the edge, the fringe, engaging in political violence, threatening political violence. Let's agree, John, and all of my conservative friends, to tell them to stop. Let's reclaim the political discourse in this country. I love that John and I can disagree and that we can exchange these ideas. I count on the fact that John and I can do this and do this peacefully every day. Because that, the competition of ideas, the free exchange of sometimes deeply uncomfortable, yes, sometimes incendiary rhetoric, but that we all know that there is an ultimate bright line, one that we all have a responsibility to ensure is never crossed. It is all of our responsibilities, but that responsibility is exercised, it's fulfilled on a daily basis. And we fulfill that responsibility to know that in a democracy, in this American democracy, political violence will be rejected. We do that by policing our own. So we look to our own house. I think I remember some biblical verse about those who live in glass houses should be careful about throwing the stones. So to the degree anyone thinks that this murderer was emboldened by progressives or liberals, I condemn him. I condemn anyone that takes up arms in the name of political truth. My name's Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll be back with the Center for American Progress Action Fund right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard, they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things, too. And you pour that on the edge of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source, those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant, so you don't bleed down your leg.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Martin Scorsese fans will have a chance to see him on the other side of the camera in a new documentary on Apple TV. Deadline reports that the famous director will be the subject of a docuseries in 5 parts from director Rebecca Miller. Miller is the daughter of playwright Arthur Miller and married to 3-time Oscar winner Daniel Day-Lewis. In the series, Scorsese will talk about his real-life experiences and how they contributed to his masterful filmmaking. James Cameron used the old Bugs Bunny reverse psychology trick in getting Leonardo DiCaprio to sign on to Titanic, according to Deadline. When DiCaprio was considered for the part of Jack Dawson, he wanted Cameron to make the character more conflicted, similar to other roles he had played so well to that point in his career. Cameron didn't want to do that, so he presented Jack Dawson's wholesomeness as yet another challenge to DiCaprio, asking him if he thought he could pull off an unflawed character. DiCaprio took the bait and history was made. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight and cool with lows in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 60s. And up into the mid 60s for the holiday weekend with more sun than clouds. A chance of rain Monday night and Tuesday. Right now it's 58.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow, also Peter Rapine from EPOM's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, the big, brutal bill has been passed by the House. Stay tuned to see what happens in the Senate. It sure is going to be a rocky, rocky ride. I have a fabulous guest with me next because one of the areas that I don't think has gotten enough focus is the impact of the big, brutal bill and other so-called efficiency measures, what I'm going to call the billionaire overlord, post-pubescent techno bro slashes, is the impact of all of these things on veterans. And it is so important as we approach Memorial Day to be hyper-focused on this. So very thankful, very privileged to be joined by Allison McManus. She is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is the managing director of their National Security and International Policy section. Prior to joining the center, Allison was the managing director at the Freedom Initiative, where she advocated for political prisoners in the Middle East and North Africa. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Allison, and thanks so much for making time. I know you're in D.C. My best wishes and condolences to the entire D.C. community. I know the embassies are embedded right within the whole Capitol framework, and it must be a really somber afternoon in Washington, D.C.
Thanks for having me, Maggie, and I really appreciate the sentiments that you offered in the last segment, just about the heinous act of violence against these two embassy staffers. So appreciate your attention to this issue and you know, your audience being aware of what's happened here.
We will do our best, and we do our best together. So let's turn to veterans. We know that the campaign to basically break government, and in somewhat haphazard but also a comprehensively cruel fashion from the Trump administration, that they have targeted the Department of Veterans Affairs. Tens of thousands of folks are going to lose jobs. Let's talk specifics. What are the programs? What are some of the job eliminations, the rifts, if you will, that have occurred specifically impacting veterans?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. I mean, you know, this is an issue that I'm really glad that you're focusing on, because there's a number of ways that we can see that the Trump administration's agenda, we tend to call it the Doge agenda, but I liked your formulation of the tech bro billionaire consortium.
Yeah, don't forget the barely post pubescent. It's important to paint the picture for folks.
You know, it's all in there. There's a number of ways that we've seen an impact on the veteran community. And first, I just want to give a little bit of an overview of like what the needs are of the veteran community. Who are we talking about when we talk about veterans? So there's almost 16 million veterans in the United States. I know you're in Wisconsin. There's around 300,000 veterans in Wisconsin. So we're looking at around 6% of the population. Many veterans, around half, are over the age of 65. Veterans have really complex needs that differ from the rest of the population, whether these are health needs related to their service. That includes combat veterans, but any veteran you know, may have different health needs because of the exposure that they had in their service. And then, of course, there's the mental health needs as well that are increased in a veteran community. Over 40% of veterans have been diagnosed with some kind of mental health or advanced behavioral health needs. The other thing I want to mention is veterans have complex socioeconomic needs. This is something that's often under-discussed. There's a bit of a stigma around it. One in four active duty service members are insecure. 11% of veterans, 1.2 million veterans utilize SNAP benefits. And veterans often utilize Medicaid a lot of times as a supplement to other federally funded healthcare programs, particularly around their families.
I don't mean to be repetitive, but these statistics are worthy of repetition, Allison. Can you give us those stats about food insecurity, Medicaid usage, these other socioeconomic complexities that are frankly come together in a unique way for vets.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about Medicaid, 850,000 military members, so these are active duty members, use Medicaid in addition to TRICARE, which is the primary coverage that the military offers. That's including 220,000 children of active duty military. 3.4 million children of veterans are covered by Medicaid. So again, huge reliance on Medicaid, particularly as a supplement for military or veteran families. 1.2 million veterans live in households that utilize SNAP benefits. And this is because 1 in 4 active duty service members and 11% of veterans are classified as food insecure. Around a quarter of veterans are economically insecure, which means they may be above the poverty line, but are still not able to afford, you know, the essentials and so live in economic precarity. For a lot of veterans, for a lot of folks, joining the military can be an engine of social mobility, particularly for those who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, but it by no means suggests that you leave the military and that you don't still maybe struggle economically. So really what we have is a population that has increased needs, and that is much more likely, frankly, to rely on federal benefits, and as they well deserve. I mean, there's a population who has often faces these increased needs because of the sacrifices that they've made to the country. This is why the Department of Veterans Affairs exists. Over half of veterans utilize services from the VA. And again, sometimes these are healthcare services. These can be pension funds. These can be loans for housing. I'll reveal to the audience, my husband's a veteran. I'm in our home that we were able to buy with a VA loan. So there's a variety of different ways that the VA serves the veteran community. Now, sorry for that long-winded.
Is essential to the discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So just to clarify for the audience, like, why is the VA so important? Now, in terms of what we're seeing already, just want to be clear to distinguish between what's happened so far and the impact on vets versus what we see on the horizon, because it's already really bad and I'm really, really worried that this is going to get worse. So with the VA, so first of all, we've seen this DOGE agenda target federal workers across the government. Veterans constitute around 30% of the federal workforce. Some agencies have a higher proportion of veterans. Department of Defense, for instance, is almost 50%. VA is around 30%. So anytime that we hear about layoffs, anytime
picture
that we hear
a veteran.
Yeah, exactly. We can assume that this is going to impact veterans. Veterans do have some additional protections, but it doesn't mean that they're exempt from the harm to the federal workforce that we've seen across the board. At the VA, this is compounded because, of course, this means interruptions in service to vets. And so here we've seen all this flip-flopping. There's been hiring freezes. There have been layoffs. They've brought people back. It's like paralyzed the VA's ability to plan, to meet the needs. Even before the Trump administration, the Biden administration had tried to invest in making sure that the VA could meet shortfalls that it had in staffing just to be able to meet the needs of vets. So this is an agency that was already struggling to meet the needs and now is further impacted. Just a couple of examples of where this has caused harm already. The Veterans Crisis Line, this is like a last line of defense for veterans who are in crisis. This is a life-saving group of folks who are facing now this decreased efficiency, spread thin, and this is actually impacting the efficacy of the Veterans Crisis Line to be able to meet the needs of those who are calling in. That's like an immediate harm. In the long term, we're also seeing the impact on research and development. So these are life-saving measures that can have impact far into the future. And not only for veterans, but a lot of the research that comes out that's funded by the VA, including things like CAT scans, the nicotine patch, these are breakthroughs that benefit the American people writ large. So this is like, we're already seeing that there's been impacts. And now what the administration's proposing, an additional 80,000 personnel that might be cut. So we could estimate that there's been around 5,000 that have either been laid off or who have left the VA. We're already seeing what the harm is there. Multiply that to 80,000. This is absolutely going to be devastating to the services that veterans receive.
It's folks, this is Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's the managing director of their National Security and International Policy Group. I don't even want to, I always hesitate to even address the efficiency question, Allison, but efficiency means delivering the services or product that you need to deliver in the most cost-effective, least amount of inputs required, right? What you have when you devastate workforces and defund massive programs is you do not have efficiency, you have destruction. And that's what's happening. It started, right, with the 5,000. I worked for a long time in government, and I know well our department's level of efficiency. And when we had major upticks in work, how incredibly stressed and burnout was an actual thing. I know folks that work in the VA. Burnout is an actual thing. My mom was a nurse in the VA. Burnout was an actual thing then. And we're about to see one of the largest layoffs in our nation's history out of the VA alone.
Donna, yeah.
We're coming up on time here, Allison. Can you hang around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to.
Perfect. And thank goodness. This is so important. I do not want to rush. Folks, again, we've got Allison McManus. We're talking about the Trump administration's chainsaw to the systems and benefits that help support veterans in this country. Such an important discussion to have as we are approaching Memorial Day. Of course, Allison generously sharing that her husband has served. So really excited to have you with us. So we're looking at on the horizon the 80,000 potential additional layoffs on top of the 5,000. We're going to dig into what else is on the horizon. We're going to look at the hundreds of thousands of disabled vets and how the big, brutal bill may be impacting them. All of this still to come. Keep it locked, because I know everybody listening knows at least one vet and cares deeply about them. If you do, keep it locked. This wonderful discussion continues on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Be a water-ready family this summer and keep your loved ones safe around water. Join the family at the SWC YMCA and learn from professionals how to become a better version of yourself while providing swimming lessons for young ones. The SWC YMCA is offering a summer special. Pay for the summer up front and they'll waive the new membership fee. Invest in yourself and your family and embark on your next summer adventure with confidence.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit UWBadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Very thankful because our fantastic guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Allison McManus, stuck around for a little bit extra, a little overtime with Allison, if you will. Allison, we've got 280,000 vets here in the state of Wisconsin. It's 6% of our population. We've been talking about what is still coming from the Trump administration that will impact vets? And that's not even to mention, again, as you did, all of these unique needs of veterans, the cuts that have already been made, as well as the fact that just vets are 30% of the federal workforce. And if you view it from the flip side, if we look at vets overall, 11% of vets have worked in federal government. So from either way, it's a huge proportion. What's coming? You talked about 80,000 potential additional layoffs. What else?
Yeah, so thanks, Maggie. Again, the layoffs, I think, are a huge concern, and particularly given, you know, not only the high proportion, not only the proportion of vets that are in Wisconsin, but also the fact that the VA operates all across the state. For sure, we can expect to see an impact there. You know, I have to talk about this horrendous bill right now that's moving through Congress. Donald Trump likes to call this the big, beautiful bill. What does he consider beautiful? That's taking away Medicaid benefits. That's taking away SNAP benefits for the most vulnerable. And that includes military members. So 3.4, I mentioned this earlier, 3.4 million children of veterans are covered by Medicaid. 1.2 million veterans rely on SNAP benefits. That will for sure impact veteran families in Wisconsin. And why are we seeing that congressional Republicans and the Trump administration want to push this bill through. Of course, it's to facilitate tax cuts for the wealthy. So, you know, really here, we're not seeing this as anything related to efficiency. It's quite cruel. And I have to mention, you know, it's really beyond the pale to think about taking these benefits away from vulnerable veterans at a time where Trump is planning to spend $45 million to throw himself a birthday parade that's going to be on the backs of the military community. It's truly beyond the pale. The only last thing that I'll mention is just need to make a note, and I know, Maggie, because this is an issue that you care about, is that for the LGBTQI veteran community and for the LGBTQI active duty community, this is a group that has already suffered enormously. They've been disparaged despite, serving the country honorably by the likes of the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. This is also a community who has advanced and complex healthcare needs, and so will be disproportionately affected again.
Thank you so very much, Allison. I look forward to talking with you again, perhaps focusing a bit the next time on the Mideast and the Israel and the ongoing situation in Israel and Gaza. Thanks so much. That's Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And with that, I will bring out my special next guest, Jeremy. It's been a hot minute. So glad to have you back. It's Jeremy Janine, president and co-founder, contributor at UrbanMilwaukee.com. As goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. We are a microcosm. And Jeremy, this wasn't a microcosm. This was the whole big shooting match. The RNC, we finally have some actual numbers about the RNC's impact here in the state and Milwaukee. Tell us about it.
There's a couple key numbers. I know we only have a couple minutes, so I'm going to kind of drill down and stay with me. $321 million. Mm. That's the RNC host committee and Visit Milwaukee Commission report. They say that's the total economic impact. We then drill down further, $216 million in direct spending. So that's the money that you can actually find. If you went and actually commissioned a report, you can find somewhere $216 million being spent. The as goes Wisconsin, Milwaukee's microcosm point I want to get to is $75 million. So almost half of that $200 million in direct spending is a federal grant that paid for security. Well, how does that relate to Wisconsin? Because when you think about the Milwaukee economic impact, this was an event that had 4,000 some police officers. Milwaukee doesn't have half that many police officers. Many of those people came from across Wisconsin. That $75 million went to pay police officers in La Crosse, Janesville, Fond du Lac, Appleton. They all brought that money home with them, probably at a premium rate because it was probably overtime work. And that money is now finding its way across Wisconsin. So if you're asking yourself, did the RNC benefit me? It's possible that money's in your community. There's lots of other questions we can now raise. The big one for me is if you look at sales tax collections in Milwaukee County in 2023 versus 2024, they actually went down during the RNC, and I think that's concerning.
Say that last part again. So as compared to 2023, Milwaukee collected less sales tax during the... What, did these people not buy anything? What the hell was happening?
Well, this gets into the thing the report doesn't touch on at all. We know this $216 million was spent. What we don't know is what wasn't spent. It wasn't if Milwaukee was going to be empty in that moment. There was always going to be a baseline of spending. I wear right. This other hat as a gift shop owner. We did, and we're downtown. We were close to the Pfister Hotel. We did well that week. We had a phenomenal last day of the RNC. But comparing it to the baseline in July, it's not like we went from 0 to 100. We went from 90 to 100. So, okay, our sales tax collection went up. But if you look at restaurants at Bayview across the rest of the city, they're universally reporting bad sales during that period. And I think you're seeing that played out in the data.
Jeremy, thank you so much for explaining this. Milwaukee is microcosm, because when I saw the headline, I was like, ain't nobody I know that gets tips, speaking of tips, or nobody that I know that works in restaurants, bars, or owns them thought it was some great boon. They were all sorely disappointed, but I'm never disappointed when you join me, Jeremy. Thank you so much. Have a fabulous Memorial Day weekend, my friend. He'll be back next week. Coming up next, we continue our lead up to Memorial Day. We'll be joined by two gentlemen from the Disabled American Veterans. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The man accused of fatally shooting two Israeli embassy employees in Washington, D.C. is facing federal charges of murder of foreign officials and two counts of first-degree murder, which carry the death penalty. Court documents show Ilias Rodriguez told police he did it for Palestine and Gaza.
Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated, especially in the nation's capital.
Janine Pirro is the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
A young couple at the beginning of their life's journey, about to be engaged in another country, had their bodies removed in the cold of the night in a foreign city in a body bag.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yaron and Sarah, why aren't the victims of a random crime? The terrorists who cruelly gunned them down did so for one reason and one reason alone. He wanted to kill Jews.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Hi, this is Beth, host